So in this beginning part where we're giving a missions update, we're going to let Krista share because if you kids actually want to leave the service, I'm a bit long-winded and we'll tell too many stories to let you out of here. So we're going to pass that on. But first, I'm going to ask each one of our kids what they're going to miss about Mongolia and what they're looking forward to in Spain, which is right here, life is a paradox. And that is kind of what we're talking about, is our yays and our yucks, okay? Our yays and our yucks. And we share those as a family. What is God doing? What are our yays and what are our yucks? And how can we be praying about those? All right. So, Acacia, can you tell us something that you're going to miss about Mongolia?
Friends.
Your friends. What are you looking forward to in Spain?
The ocean.
The ocean. What are you going to miss in Mongolia?
Pets and friends.
Pets and friends, okay. And what are you going to look forward to in Spain?
The culture.
The culture, okay. And Avery, what are you missing about Mongolia?
I'm missing my horse, my friends, and the mountains.
And what are you looking forward to in Spain?
It's the home of Picasso, and I love art.
All right. So our kids didn't know we were going to do that this morning, so you got real answers. And now what I was hoping to do, I'm going to give Krista the mic as she starts. Is we're going to need one volunteer to put on the Mongolian wrestling outfit. To wear why I give my message this morning, if that's okay. No. All right, we're going to go sit down while Krista shares our update.
So, yes, we are living in paradox. We are grieving. I'll try not to cry already. We're grieving Mongolia. We are going from Mongolia to Malaga, Spain. And it's been a tough year, knowing that we're not going back. But then at the same time, our yays, we are excited about joining in God's kingdom work in Spain. And so let me just pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for allowing us to be here. Thank you, God, for this church who has always welcomed us as family and shown us the spirit of adoption, which is a passion of our hearts, of course. God, that you've adopted us into your family, God, and you love us so deeply. And we don't deserve it, yet you never give up on us, God. So we thank you for your love. We thank you, God, that you call us out and you challenge us to go into uncomfortable places and to join you. And God, it's so exciting. And we love walking alongside you. God, I just ask that your spirit would come. Holy Spirit, come. Let your kingdom come in this place as it is in heaven. God, thank you for your provision. Thank you for your forgiveness. And thank you, God, that you protect us from the evil one. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Okay, so Mongolia to Malaga. So we can go ahead and show you a little bit about Mongolia. Oh, good, Larry's got it. So this was us in Mongolia. That was the Kazakh dress. We were working with the Kazakhs out in western Mongolia. We spent a lot of time in Ulaanbaatar, the capital city where the Red Arrow is, and then we spent some time learning Mongolian language in Darhan, and then we're asked to go out west to work with the minority Kazakh group. They are Muslim, a small minority group. And so this is where the Kazakhs live, mostly up in that upper corner, but we lived in Hoft, which was about a third Kazakh, two-thirds Mongolian. Sorry, I'm trying to go quick. And this is where we lived. This is Hoft, Mongolia, the ends of the earth. And if you see right there in the background, you can kind of see the white. That's the town that we lived in. And this is a prayer altar. I'm trying to think of the English word.
It's called an
Ava. An Ava. Yep. And so that's where we were. And it's what we fell in love with. And these are some of the projects that God allowed us to do there. The MMFC was the Mighty Men Fitness Club. When we first got there, we were living in a yurt, which is a kind of like a squashed teepee. And so Larry couldn't really lift his heavy weights overhead. We were both pretty passionate about fitness. And so we went outside, and some of the young guys saw him lifting weights and wanted to come join him and started lifting heavy stuff up too. And then we built a small garage gym and ended up being one of our main projects for the young men in the community because alcoholism is a big struggle. So it gave them an alternative. And then they also had lots of conversations about life and raising up these young men as leaders. And then water wells, we also assessed the community to find out the felt needs, and many of them wanted to keep their Kazakh culture, so we were able to find teachers to teach the Kazakh language, dance, the instrument, and yeah, the dambra. And then there's some new projects going on now. There's the alfalfa project and the leather goods project. So it's just always trying to find ways to help the community. And so now we're going to Spain. So I should mention that doing the projects in Mongolia gave us an opportunity to meet a lot of people and make relationships. And so we went, and our goal was to drink tea with 100 families when we first got there as a team and assess the felt needs. And then through that, we got to know people. And eventually, a small church was formed. And so Larry will tell you a little bit more about that. So now we are the Lanes in Spain. Apparently God has a sense of humor because he thought it would be funny if he sent us somewhere where our names rhymed. So, and it's even spelled L-A-I-N, just like Spain, A-I-N. So we'll be in Malaga. Actually, we don't really know how to say Malaga. People say Malaga, Malaga, Malaga. So we'll learn once we get there. We do not know Spanish, so that will be a really big prayer request for us. And as you can see, it's right across from Morocco in Algeria. And there's a lot of refugees there from Northern Africa and a large Muslim population there. So we're hoping to work again with Muslims, with refugees, and then also women who've been rescued from slavery. And so this is some of the things that we're hoping to get involved with, like I just said. There's the Sea House, Muslim ministries, art ministries, literacy, the community center, and then fitness. We'll be definitely getting involved with a fitness club and making relationships there. And then SALT is a kind of like YWAM. CAMA would like to send candidates who are becoming missionaries to be trained in spiritual formation and community development on the ground. And so we'll have a training center there. And then we'll also be having Envision interns, short-term teams and interns coming. And so we'll also get a chance to train them and get them plugged into all these different ministries. And we'll be doing a lot of coaching and walking alongside. So that is pretty much. Oh, and I said the Sea House is a transitional house for women who've been rescued from slavery. And so that will be a big part of our ministry. So I'll come up at the end and just tell you a tiny bit more about our prayer requests and give you a little bit more specifics after the kids go. So, yep.
So we do have Children's Church available for kids that are under the age or grade up through grade 3. So if anybody wants to participate in that, you're welcome to, or you can stay and listen to Larry's stories as he shares from. And I also just want to mention, yes, Cynthia's got it. We got it under control. Also, just like to mention, at the end of the service today, we will be taking up a love offering for the Lane family. So instead of our benevolence offering that we normally do on the first Sunday of the month, we'll be taking that up. We'll have the plates at the back of the room. And next Sunday, we'll do our benevolence offering. So let me pray for you before you here actually come on up. Jesus, thank you for my brother. And I pray that you would speak your truth through him, that he would communicate clearly, that our minds and hearts would connect with the good news. And I thank you that you have called this average Joe to do extraordinary things because you are amazing. And so please fill him with your spirit and help him know your peace as he brings your word to us today. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Well, thank you all for letting me come. I'm going to pray for us in Kazakh, and then I will translate it, okay? A lot of times in Kazakh, they'll hold their hands together like this, but you can pray how you like. Kodai sin utejaksa. Sin bizden utejgara. Sin olmushin kub kub rakmet. Kil yoroch kilingisha. Sin suz biz jurgmizge. Jazingisha. Kodai. Mining ashik sinning suz koyingisha. Isinung atamin, amen. God, you are so good. Your ways are so beyond our ways. Thank you for your Son. Thank you that he died for us and sent the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, fill this place. God, write on our hearts your word. Jesus, I pray that you would just fill this place. In your precious name, amen. All right, so as I was thinking about what to share and thinking about how to give a missions update and also try to have a word for you guys and praying about it, I pretty much changed my slides all around last night. So I wanted to talk about God's mission, that God is already on a mission, okay? And God is already on the move. He was already on the move in Mongolia before we got there. He is already on the move in Spain. He is already on the move here. So what are we to do as to being people, being his craftsmanship? How are we supposed to join into that mission? What is God's mission, and how are we to accomplish that mission? And so when I think of that, I think of right here, Jeremiah 1:4, okay? The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So God knew he was on mission, and God knew me and knew you, and maybe this was only for Jeremiah, but I like to think about it being for me as well, that he already knew what he needed. He already knew what part of the body that he was crafting me to be. He was knitting me together. Before I was even being knitted together, he knew me. And he knew, this is the mission that I'm going to have Larry fulfill. This is the mission that I'm going to have Lance, Megan, any of you guys, Steve back there, where'd he go? fulfill. Okay, so with that in mind, I think about, some of us think about our past and we think there is no way that was a part of the plan. But everything God uses for his glory, for his good, to work together so that the God of all comfort that gave us comfort, that we could in return give others comfort in that same way. So today I'm going to be talking about that plan. So here, talk about fulfilling that mission. Apparently I'm not strong enough to push the button on this remote. This was one of my very favorite verses when I first come to know the Lord. Maybe it's a little bit morbid, I don't know. But I thought to myself, if I could fulfill everything God had for me and my part of the mission, and then he called me home, that would be absolutely amazing. That I wouldn't miss out on any one thing. That anything God told me to do, anything that he had for me in that day, that I would accomplish, and that he would say, his purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep, he completed it. He had served God. That whole idea that I had served God and I had completed my purpose and I fell asleep, knowing that I had completed that purpose and that mission. So I think about, a lot of times people will say, well, that is you're a missionary. You're a pastor. You're a teacher. Obviously, that's your role. I'm just here. And I'm here, and this is my role. I come, and I sit, and I get fed, and I go back home. But we are all on mission. God is calling us all to take part in this. And as I've said a bunch of times, I'm just an ordinary guy showing up, you know? And I'm not the most educated. I'm not the most qualified. But I will be obedient, and I will show up. And God will use me. God will speak through. He'll speak through Balaam's donkey, right? So here we go. So what is this mission we're talking about? A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so that you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So I think of the love that's being talked about today. I think about the world, how we have like skewed the word love, and it means tolerance in a sense. That is not what we're talking about as the church. Tolerance says, you do what you're doing, that's fine. I can love you from a distance. But our love knows what the end game is. Our love knows that we have to share the gospel. We have to be the one beggar that tells another beggar where to find bread. We have to stand up and say, okay, there is a hell. And we want to love you out of hell. We want you to know that this is a reality. This is conscious eternal torment. We don't like to talk about that, but it's a reality. And I can't be tolerant to everything you're doing because I love you so much that I don't want you to go to hell. And that is our mission. That is what we're called to fulfill. And we can all love. We can all walk in that path of loving our neighbors. We've all been given. If God was on mission and he knitted us in our mother's womb and knew us, he knew how he crafted us for. And if we want to fulfill that mission, he has put us in a specific place in certain spheres of influence that nobody else can reach. You have a mission that I can't do because I wasn't shaped for that mission. And so what does that mission look like, and how are we to love those around us? So then, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or cymbal. We can do a lot of things, and I'm a project guy, and I don't like to sit around and plan. I don't like to sit around and get emotional. I always joke around that I work for Compassion and Mercy Associates, and I lack the first word in that, okay? I like to get things done, but if I'm doing all the greatest projects in the world and I'm not loving people, then I'm just a sounding gong. I don't want God to look at me as just this loud, clanging noise. I want to love people as he loved people. As we are taking communion today, to remember that he loved us so much, he stretched out his arms and he laid down his life for us because he loved us. So all that to tell you a story about hope. This woman here, her name is Umit. Umit means hope. And she absolutely hated us when we first moved to Hoft. She did not like us. She knew we were believers. We moved right next door to her. She was our backyard neighbor. Her husband would walk through our yard every night drunk. I didn't appreciate that. He told me I was a bad Kazakh because I wouldn't let him walk through our yard drunk. I had to remind him I wasn't Kazakh, and then we moved on from there. But she absolutely did not like us because of what we stood for, who we were, and what we were doing. And she felt responsible for us because we were living there as her neighbors. So the only person she actually did like was Avery, for whatever reason. But Umit, her son's come home from the military. One of her sons is interested in working with us. He starts working with us. He comes to know the Lord. Asanka is his name. Asanka wants to be baptized. Asanka gets baptized. He's an older guy. I mean, he's just served in the military. We're not talking to his family too much about what's going on with him. His dad pulls me aside one time and says, Larry, I appreciate all you're doing for us here. Just know that when my wife's around, I don't like you. Okay? You know, when we're by ourselves, you know, we can chat, we can talk, we can work together. But when my wife's around, I don't like you. And I'm like, okay, I guess I understand that. So Umit had this passion for not liking us. And she was pretty, I wouldn't say she was really devout, but she was devout to the mosque, and she was devout to her faith. And here's her son, who we feel that God's calling to be in leadership in the church. Anytime his mom came around and we were hanging out, he would either quit talking to me, leave, or hide what we started talking about. We'd go from talking about God to talking about the mechanics of the vehicle. We would go to talking about welding or anything instantly, seamlessly in conversations. And so, fast forward a little bit. We've been there for a while. Umit still shows disdain for us. And I'm in the gym one night, and used to wrestle a little bit in high school and stuff, and one of the guys was like, hey, show me a double leg takedown. I'm like, okay. And so we're talking and we're doing it, and we wrestled at the gym quite a bit. I know I've shared that before here. And we do that. It's no big thing. Nothing happens. We're not full on wrestling. I go back to deadlifting. I start addressing the bar to deadlift, and I get picked up and body slammed. And some of you might remember that story, but so what happened? I'm addressing the bar, getting all ready to pick it up. I have this little thing I do every time I deadlift. I don't know what happened, but it's locked in there, and that's what I do. And so there I'm doing it, and boom, I get picked up from behind, slam on the ground. When I hit, I put my arm like this, and it pushed my collarbone and everything back. And so my collarbone was no longer attached to anything. It was sticking up like this inside my skin. And we won't get too graphic in case you guys are a little queasy. But I blacked out. I couldn't see anything. I popped up. I was still coherent, but I couldn't see anything. I hear the gym erupt, and I braced myself, thinking I'm going to get hit again. But what was the opposite of that is all the guys in the gym were getting this guy that just body slammed me out of the gym. So during that time, I can finally see again. I go home. I can't take off my own shirt. Krista helps me out, and I'm like, I think it's fine. I probably am okay. And my bone, I mean, it's like sticking up. There's a bloody spot. It's all like bruised. Bruised my elbow, my hip, my face is like a little bit bloody and bruised. I'm like, I'm good. I don't need to go to the hospital. Anytime I go to the hospital, it's because Krista made me, okay? And she's like, you're not good. I'm calling your field director, Peter Theron at the time. You're going to the city to get x-rays. I'm like, So one of the gym guys during this time had called his mom and said, hey, mom, this is what just happened. She went and got all the old ladies in our community, all the moms, and the moms found this guy that body slammed me and drug him back to my house, like by the ear kind of thing. And so we hear a knock at the door about that time. Here's this guy, and he's kind of like, oh, man, you know, doing, like, it looks like a little kid scenario, right? And they're like, take him to jail. Make him pay for your medical. Do all these things. It was like a riot. You know, it was just a mob of people. And for whatever reason, God just fell on me. And he said, Larry, tell them why you're here. And I had this thought. It's like, I may not be able to stay here. Like, if it's dangerous to be here, I don't know what will happen with the organization. I'm supposed to go home on furlough in the next 8 months. And are they going to just make me stay? Am I going to have surgery on this collarbone? And all these things went through my mind, and I thought, okay, I've got to just lay it out, you know. I'm here because God loved me. He loved me enough that he saved me. While I was in Alaska doing some of the worst stuff ever, he loved me, saved me, pulled me out of darkness, and I'm here so I can tell you of that same grace that his son extends to you. And that was it. They were like, you know, you hope at that moment that when you share the gospel to like an angry mob, something cool is going to happen. But really, they were all mad at me. They were like, take him to jail. And I'm like, no, you know, I forgive him. For me to ruin his life over this one stupid act is ridiculous. God has given me forgiveness. I extend that forgiveness to him. And I may never be back, so no, this is the reason why I was here. And so in that moment, it was just the crowd dispersing because they didn't receive the answer. They didn't receive the soap opera. They didn't receive the drama that they had hoped. And I was like, God, what is that about? You know, and like, you asked me to share this, and I try to step out and do it, and nothing. It just, nothing happens. So we're sitting there trying to figure out what's going on with me. Umit knocks on the door. So we answer the door. Oh, we put a lock on our door for the class that we talked about earlier, that you don't have a lock on your door. We put one on our door. So she was in that mob of people. She was one of those women there. And she's just seen everything that happened. She came, she's like, I'd like to pray for you and bandage your arm. I'd like to pray to Allah for you, that he will heal you. And I shot up one of those arrow prayers to God. I was like, God, this woman has never wanted to do anything with me. I'm going to let her pray for me. I was like, you put my armor on. I need my armor on. Put my helmet of salvation on. I'm going to let her pray for me. And so she bandaged up my arm, put it in a sling, and she prayed for me, just a quick little prayer. And she left. And so then I go to Thailand. The doctors are looking at me, trying to figure out what they're going to do. And Krista and I are praying, just send us back. Let us be back there so we can continue to raise up Asanka and his wife Altangul as the leaders of the church there before we go on furlough. And so God allowed us to go back. We were able to go back. And one of the first people that we met when we got back to Hof, she came in, we made her tea, was Umit. She sat down and she said, "Jesus is the truth. I give my son permission, my son's permission to follow him. I'm not going to follow him. I'm not ready. But I give my son's permission to follow him." And so with that, Asanka and Altungul stepped up as the leaders of the church. And they became the pastors of the church. And that, this is them here. So this is Asanka and Altungul and their little girl Kishka. And they are the leaders of the church. We were able to pass the shepherd's staff on to them. And this is the small church. They named themselves Sinem, which means faith. So they are Faith Church in Hof, Mongolia. At one time, we were able to baptize 12 people, and then more people started being added to that number, and this is a good majority of them on a Sunday morning. And we passed a shepherd's staff over to Asanka, and we were like, "This is your flock. This is who God is entrusting. God is entrusting you with this group. Lead them well." And so we were excited. We were excited about that. And we were excited about the story of what's going on in the church that was raising up. And this is all, and we never knew that we were going to Spain. And we were just thinking, wow, God is doing something. And then God said to us, "You have fulfilled your purpose in Mongolia. I'd like you to go somewhere else." So I want you to remember something when you're on mission. Things are not always going to be great. There's going to be people that hate you. There are going to be people that don't have anything to do with you. There's going to be people that just come around because of things that maybe they can benefit from. But God has called us to love everyone and to share the message that he has given us. So I'm going to read this for us. 1 John 3, starting at 13. "Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other." So we know we have that if we love each other. My little add in there. "Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or a sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts. And if he knows everything, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. So he is in us. We live in him and him in us. And if you have to be body slammed for a guy to come to know the Lord, it's a small price to pay. There's much more persecution than that happening in our world. So I think that we have to understand there's a charge. There's a mission. We've been crafted for a specific purpose in the body. And I want to encourage us all to do our part. It's not for a few. People sometimes say you're on the front lines. And military guys, there's definitely front lines. But we're all on the front lines as the body of Christ. We all have a mission to play. We are all going to be attacked on a front line somewhere. If you're praying, you're sending, or you're going, there is a front line that you're going to be on. And the enemy is going to try to persecute you and attack you in that, so you fall and you don't do the mission that you're supposed to be doing. So go, therefore, make disciples who make disciples by loving them into the kingdom. Well, I have Krista come back up. She'd like to share a few more things with you.
No.
So the guy that body slammed me, his name is Iman Beck, and he'd only been to the gym twice. Iman Beck means imam is a name they use in the mosque for like a priest, and it means kind of a priestly warrior. And a part of the story I left out, I had just been preaching. I don't normally wear a watch. normally, I had just been preaching on God has your back. You don't have to worry about needing fetishes. You don't need to worry about these different things. God has your back. He is your protection. He is your shield. He is your comforter. And so when I got body slammed, I heard in my own head, no one said it to me, but I heard audibly, where is your God? I heard that, and I thought to myself, you know, this is an attack. This is, you know, it was, and maybe I'm a bit twisted in the sense that I thought, well, if I'm being attacked in this way, something's right, you know, and God is doing something. And so I had that moment of like, yeah, well, where were you, God? Why did I get body slammed? But then to be able to see the after effects of everything that happened. Iman Beck, I never seen again. His family took him and put him in the countryside until I left Mongolia because they were afraid that I would take action against him. Yeah.
So this is the family that lived in our yard. They lived in one of those felt tents. The picture of the church, that was in our yard. It's now been moved to another location. Yeah, it moved around. It's a gear. It's like a tent, so you can move it around. But we love them dearly. They were in our house every single day. We just got to talk to Bertkle on the phone the other day. It was her very first day of first grade, which is a really big deal in their community. And she was so happy we talked to her that day. She was walking to school. So you can pray for the church. The church is our heart. We were not planning on leaving, but at the same time, our job, we wanted to work ourselves out of a job, really, so that the church would go on, whether we could stay there or not. And our leadership approached us after we were praying, because we could really sense a lot of transition in our hearts. Our leadership asked us if we would consider praying and relocating to Spain. And so we weren't really completely prepared for that, but God had been stirring our hearts, so it made a lot of sense when it came time. But please continue praying for the Kazakh church. They definitely need prayer for the Spirit to fill them, especially for protection against persecution. There was a few months pretty intense persecution where we couldn't even leave the house for a couple days. And also for boldness and unity among the churches. And one of the coolest stories is the Kazakh church, they actually came around me and prayed for me to be healed from my nut allergies. And I went to the doctor in the capital city, and I was completely healed. I had 5 years where I couldn't even look at an almond without not being able to breathe, and it was pretty scary. Now I'm eating 10 or 20 almonds every single day. Praise the Lord. These guys prayed for me. Part of the story that Larry didn't share was, it's in my Bible, hon. Sorry. As one of the ladies from the church came to him the morning after he got body slammed and said, I had a dream. Are you healed? Are you healed? And they're like, well, not yet. Tell us about your dream. And she saw this white light come down from heaven onto his arm and onto his shoulder, and his whole arm turned white. And so when he got the x-rays in Mongolia, his bone was up like this. By the time we got to Thailand a couple weeks later to see a specialist, they did an MRI, and the bone was down. And so he said, well, we're just going to see how it's doing because it looks like it's healing. So we're not going to do surgery. And it was like as if something was sitting on his shoulder. And in the church, we were just learning about Jesus' baptism and the dove coming down and sitting on his shoulder. So God has healed her. He still, to this day, has never had surgery, and his shoulder is doing great. So I'm going to share those two quick stories. And then you can pray for our family. Like Larry said, we're grieving Mongolia, and that we would grieve well, that, you know, Spanish language is going to be another language. We learned Mongolian and Kazakh and Mongolian, and now Spanish. The kids' schooling, the teacher, there's going to be a teacher who comes and helps with homeschooling so that I can do language study. and she's a young intern that's coming, but her paperwork is backed up, so she probably won't get there until December. So if you could just pray that her paperwork comes through. And then for fundraising and support, of course. One of the big things is, like, we were talking to Steve before the service, and Larry shares the story about someone coming from behind and body slamming him. I've just been thinking about that, because Steve said something like, oh, you guys are working with women who've been rescued from slavery. You know, you got to watch your back. People could come up from behind you. And so we just need an army. The spiritual warfare that I sense is different in Spain, and working in this arena is fear. And God, you know, has shown us that we've got to put our armor on every day. We can't go a day without being in his word. Because as we open up the word, it's like God opens the Red Sea. Every single day as we open the word, he brings deliverance through his word. And he brings protection. You know, the enemy was coming up to Moses and the Israelites, and they were backed up in the corner. And then he opened the Red Sea. And so we need to be faithful in opening his word. But then we also need in his armor. But we need something on the back. And we have the breastplate of righteousness, but we don't have anything back here. So we need all of you to pray for us and to protect us from behind. So we need prayer. And also giving will do the same as you invest and join in the kingdom work that God is doing. We'll keep you updated so that you can know how to pray for us. Or you can come. Since we're Envision site coordinators, we'll be bringing short-term teams and we'll be bringing interns. So we would love to have you come to Spain. So please pray for us. We appreciate you very much. Is that it? Yep.
Praise God. I was just thinking about how often we take for granted that we can declare the name of Jesus openly into a microphone and not be afraid. And we want that to be, we want that in every nation, in every tongue. And then he'll return. As we consider what Jesus has done for us, I'd like us to consider a passage in Romans as we prepare for taking the Lord's table together. There's a, I think it's, Graham, do you have Romans 3 for me? Thank you. Romans 3. Paul says this, but now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known. Remember, the law brought death. The law told you how high you were supposed to jump, and the bar was set incredibly too high. It was impossible. Paul says, but now, apart from that standard or that law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith. Faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Verse 23 is all about condemnation. For all have sinned. We're all condemned to death by our own sins. And the opposite of condemnation is to be justified. And that justification came freely to us by grace that cost Jesus everything. For God, not the Romans, not the Jews, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement. Our substitution, he took our place. through the shedding of his blood. And that atonement, that redemption, is received by faith, by believing in the one who gave his life for us. This morning, as we prepare to take communion, I would encourage you to meditate on these verses, on the amazing love that God has for us. And as is our custom or our tradition, we're going to take 10 minutes or so. Megan's going to come and play. And just encourage you to meditate on God's word, listen for his voice, consider his sacrifice for us. Communion is open to anyone. You don't have to be a member or a regular attender here. If you love Jesus and your faith is in him for eternity, then we would ask you to participate with us. So, Megan, if you could come.